It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I don't even know how to react. You know, we always find wacky articles online, and a lot of it is nothing to laugh about. Right before we went live, Mike, who is a loyal friend of the show, sends me a DM. He's like, DT, this is right up your alley. Check out this headline of his story. I looked at it, and I had to, like, take a step back for a minute and think about it. And I'm like, this can't be true. And I Googled it, and sure enough, it is a legit story. I am so sorry for anyone out there that has ever been sexually abused, taken advantage of. Believe me when I tell you, I do not mean this in any joking way. I'm just thinking about the perpetrator and what ended up happening to the perpetrator. I just want to show everybody this, and for my audio only family out there, I think this is the ultimate bad luck. This is the ultimate bad luck that could happen to somebody. Some guy attempted to rape a girl, and the guy was stopped by another rapist who happened to be gay. So the rapist that tried to rape the girl was stopped, and then the person who stopped him decided to rape the rapist. It's not funny, but it's like when we were talking about the Star and National Enquirer stories, and like, that is just what it's a legit story. Everybody, Google it. It's a legit story. It's not funny, but I'm like, can you just imagine that? You know, a heterosexual guy tries to rape a girl, and some guy comes and saves the day. That doesn't even sound right. And then he decides, you know what? I'm going to rape the rapist. Unfucking believable. Good evening, everybody. It's one of those nights. This Sit Down with yours truly. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. You know, we didn't, the keyboard sticks out over there. All right, we'll leave it over here. I didn't get a chance to talk about this 2 weeks ago, but somebody asked me, you know, to comment on it and pull it out of archives. And over the years, I've always talked about growing up, my favorite comedian, and it wasn't even close, was John Belushi. And a couple of weeks ago was the 40-year anniversary of his passing. And I still remember the next morning. And, you know, look, being a kid, but still loved John Belushi's work. And I remember that morning watching championship. Well, it was WWF All-Star Wrestling, I think it was, here in New York on Channel 9. I watched All-Star Wrestling that Saturday morning. And then I walked three blocks to a little bodega called Pipe and Paper, I believe it was called. Middle Village, Queens, Pipe and Paper. And I bought every newspaper that covered his passing. And for the gentleman that asked me to take it out of archives, I have this paper for 40 years. This is mine. I went 40 years ago to a store and bought this myself. And, you know, it's going to be very difficult to show, like, the tributes that they paid for him inside the paper, which was pretty awesome. But anybody that follows this story over the years when I tell it, you know that there's only one thing in this paper that always comes to mind when I think of this paper, and that is this. For some reason, I always remember this paper for the movie Porky's, because Porky's was an absolute no-no for me to watch at that time. I was way too young. I'm looking at the back. You get Georgetown basketball. So for the gentleman that wanted me to pull it out of archives, you know, one day I'll show you some of my other newspapers I have in collection. Got some pretty awesome ones, too. So anyway, tonight is the sit-down. For the next 60 minutes or so, I will pretty much sit back, and I will answer your questions. We'll do some live chat. Hey, maybe we'll take some calls if warranted, if needed, and we'll answer chat room and super chats that come in. First one that I want to get into right away.
Super chat.
Chris Cutrer, Hall and Nash, we're to the NWO, we're Tully and Arn, we're to the Horsemen, the real nucleus of the groups. Hogan and Flair were the brand names on the car, but those four were the engines that made it run. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Problem is, Flair, I don't put in the same category as Hogan. Flair, obviously, style and his personality and the charisma, but that man could go. I mean, yes, you see one Flair match, you've probably seen them all. But Flair always had the knack to make his opponents look really, really good. I mean, Flair in his prime was outstanding. Hogan would make some of his opponents look good as well. But usually the way he would do it is just be on his knees. And what would happen? The opponent of Hulk Hogan, punch, kick, punch, kick, rake the back. And Hogan would ultimately start hulking up, hit a couple of power moves, match over. So, but I get what you're saying. I mean, Tully and Arn really, they were the workhorses. And I know that sounds odd to say about Ric Flair, because Ric Flair would do 1 hour Broadways with no problem whatsoever. Good comparisons. You know, Scott Hall, we paid a tribute earlier this week. Tributes are still pouring in for the man. Just take him way too soon. Way too soon. And, we talked about J.J. McGuire yesterday, theme music icon, who was taken unexpectedly as well in his 60s. So, sad week for pro wrestling. Tomorrow, we have another tribute that we'll get into. Name that a lot may not recognize, but once we get into some particulars, you'll definitely know who he is. Ronald, my friend. No question. Just lunch on him. Best damn believe lunch is on you tomorrow, brother. And Matt, whatever happened to Velveteen Dream? He thought he was the total package. Did wrestling blackball him? Little bit. And by the way, for my friends in the live chat right now, if you're going to post a question, please put letter Q before your question or type in capital letters the word question. It makes it so much easier because a lot of you like to socialize with each other, and it's a lot easier for me to spot questions. And even if I get into it a little bit later, I can just pop it in the queue and we can get into it, because, you know, that's what the sit down is all about. Me answering what you ask. It's what I'm here for the whole night. Velveteen Dream, a little bit of blackballing right now. Fact of the matter is, one promotion is going to have to step up and give him an opportunity. And that promotion has to be able to accept a lot of criticism, a lot of flack. You know, I don't really want to comment yet about control of narrative. You know, I want to see the actual promotion. I know there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of stuff like those super kicks and know this and know that. Okay, fine. It's brawn and muscle and freedom. I get it. I'm not going to criticize it. I'm not going to praise it. I want to watch it first. Then I'll judge it. But I would think that might be the ideal promotion for him to put his foot back in the door. Remember, we live in a country that you're innocent until proven guilty. Not guilty because you think he's guilty. Yes, people have gotten away with crimes, no doubt. You know, very, very serious ones and some not so serious, but still, you know, the fact that the accusers had to lie themselves and not go based on what was the actual truth, that ruins it, man. To me, that ruins the whole case. I talked about it from the beginning. There was no reason for them to start stacking up lies, not even 24 hours after the alleged incident. Why lie? If you're a victim, you're a victim. Why add to it? Why add to it? So, you know, there's a lot of questionable shit that went on at that time. But I do believe Velveteen Dream will be back in wrestling. It's just what promotion is going to be the one. Look, I'll be honest with you. If I had a wrestling promotion right now, I best damn put all my eggs in a basket and say, yes, I would put him on the show. I will get criticism for it, but, you know, I need to remind everyone that, yes, you live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. And if there's a whole plethora of people that don't want to support a promotion because of that, so be it. But at the end of the day, it just shows, you know, the intolerance and the selective outrage. The selective outrage by a lot of people. So, and look, if other things come out with the guy in the future, I'll be the first to rip him a new asshole. I know that doesn't sound right, but, you know. But on paper, like I said, you know, innocent until proven guilty. WWE sent it out to an investigator. Sent it out to an outside forensic that went through his phone. You know, when you delete something, it's never fully deleted unless you use Bleach Bit or something like that. And I honestly think if Velveteen Dream would have used something like Bleach Bit, he probably would have been canned from WWE right away as well. Because you're obviously trying to get rid of something that you don't want anyone to ever see. They sent it out to an outside forensic. It came back clean. And then people accuse Triple H of lying. A $1 billion company is going to lie about a wrestler because he's good. So stupid when you actually think about it. Darren is asking me, what if Kurt Cobain was still alive? It's an interesting question. I think for at least another decade, he would have banged out controversial and outstanding music. And in this day and age, maybe he would have been a huge activist for some of the causes, some of the good causes that people are fighting for. You know, a crazy-ass talented performer that should not have died as young as he did. You think of Nirvana, you think of some of those bands from the 90s. I mean, it was life-changing for some people. I mean, even I enjoyed a lot of that music. And me, I was always a lifelong disco guy, house music, techno, hip house, you know, club music, freestyle. So definitely taken way too soon. SITV Network, good evening to you. Do I think Braun Strowman could be the special guest and could wrestle Omos? I think no, because Braun Strowman is so deep into this Control the Narrative promotion that I just can't see him showing up for WrestleMania for one shot. And I don't think WWE wants to reintroduce him to the WWE universe just to have him leave again. See, Great Khali showing up for the Punjabi prison match that one time, it was different because Khali was pretty much retired. He was also working with WWE overseas, trying to get some students that might be, you know, WWE quality. So there was still a working relationship there. With Braun being heavy with Control the Narrative, I don't think WWE wants to revisit that. And then he leaves, and then you get a plethora of fans. Why'd you bring him back only once? You know, especially he would obviously have to do the job to Omos. So I say no. I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see Braun Strowman back. I always question his release. I didn't think that he was way past his prime like some people were reporting. But with the controller narrative, I don't see that happening. So, supersonic. Supersonic. Do I want to see Asuka and Bayley as a tag team when they come back? And who would turn on that team, ultimately? Well, I think Bayley would turn on Asuka. Asuka, as much as I would love to see her bring back her heel character that everybody has been talking about off and on for years, I don't see that working all that well in WWE for the simple reason that she's not a good talker, you know, with English. And unless she has some type of a manager in it to speak, you know, that character will only go so far. WWE's form of entertainment kind of requires someone to be able to communicate with the fans. All right, you see some wrestlers don't talk all that much, but they usually have a manager or they usually have a partner, you know, to do the talking for them. No, I don't want to see Bayley and Asuka as a tag team. I'd rather see Bayley and Asuka as singles wrestlers. Yeah, we may see some women have the stranglehold on the singles titles. So what? If the titles don't mean that much to people, then you shouldn't care if Bayley has a title or not, or Asuka or anyone else. That's how I look at it. So, let's see. Trying to mix it up because, you know, I don't mind answering multiple questions from same people, but try to mix it up, give everybody a chance to ask something. Someone will type like 9 questions. So, Michael Gonzalez, do I think Edge will stay heel after Mania, or if it's just the AJ feud, he's got to stay heel. Oh, man, he's got to stay heel. I mean, we've had Edge as a heel in the past, and this turn might have been a little bit questionable and forced, but there's no denying what he's doing right now. It's fabulous. No reason to end it so quickly. No, let him keep doing it. And I got news for you. I have to put my air conditioner on. It's no longer 30 degrees outside, so it does get hot in here pretty quickly. And you know what sucks? I got Zevia's tonight. One thing that sucks about Zevia soda is when you drop the can on the floor, I don't know if you can see it, but the top is all like banged up. I can't even like drink it properly. The bottom is all banged up. It's like a weeble wobble on the table. Literally, almost, if I don't do it right, it dribbles. So I'm drinking extremely dented soda right now. But no, do not touch Edge. Leave him the way he is. There are some babyface young stars of tomorrow that will benefit going at it with Edge. I'd like to see something with Edge and Riddle down the line. I could see Edge doing stuff with Balor, which I think would be freaking fabulous. There's a few feuds that we could see down the line. Leave him as he is. Absolutely. 316. Do I think when it's best time to buy or sell a Scott Hall autograph? Well, here's the thing. You know, and I thank everybody, and I mean this, I thank everybody who sent me DMs or emails the last couple of days for the Scott Hall autographs over the last couple of years. I've given away quite a few. I think the last one I gave away, remember the pair of the NWO tights? You remember it was autographed by Bischoff, Hall, Nash, and Hogan. And I couldn't give them away. I mean, do you remember, like, we did a contest, somebody won it, they never claimed it. Remember I was joking, I said, look, you know, do I have to put them on? You know, it would look like a little pair of trunks. I think after the third contest, finally somebody claimed it. Now that person could probably throw it on eBay and get like $300-$500 for it. But, you know, look, if you want a Scott Hall autograph as a memento, you know, something for your personal collection, you go on eBay. Of course, the prices will be inflated because he passed, but there will be so many out there that you should still be able to get a good deal. I remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And I have a bunch of autographs from him still. I have the Topps cards. And when he first passed, those autographs tripled in price. 2 weeks later, they were right back to what they were. As far as selling it, you know, if you're selling it with the idea of really banking some nice money, it really depends on what you have. If it's just the stand, look, check this out. Look, I don't know if I've opened these, but, you know, like, I have someone who is a big fan of the show, and I don't think I want to show these. There's political stuff in there, but do I have another one? You know what? I don't. We'll do it another time. I have about 50 autographed photos that haven't even opened up yet. And a few of them are from Vince McMahon. A few of them are, you know, Charlotte, Sasha, John Cena, you know, his superhero character, all these others. And, you know, it depends. I have one photo of Charlotte where she's completely naked. But it's very, very classy. And, you know, I saw someone else selling the same exact one on eBay and getting $125 for that signed photo. Then you have a different pose of Charlotte, and you might get $20. I have a bunch of these, Liv Morgans. And believe it or not, and I have more than one. See, look, 2, 3. I don't think anybody wants Donald Trump. I think anybody wants Joe Biden. Now, he sent it to me as gags. No, they're not for sale. But I have a Hillary one too. I have an Obama. So I might give away a 4-pack in the future. But, you know, he promised me not to sell them. I don't sell stuff. But no, I can't give them away because, you know, I didn't ask for them. I do trades. But, you know, I ask for wrestling stuff. I got to show you the Cena ones. Maybe next week we'll do something. But, you know, it really depends on what you have as far as autographs and eBay. And try to get something that's like JSA authenticated or some legit authentication. You know, don't buy it from Sam's Collectibles. You know, Sam's Collectibles that, oh, it's certificate of authenticity. And you open it up and it says, yes, it's signed by Sam. It's signed by Sam that it guarantees authenticity. Don't get it from a legit place. I tell you the truth, the Vince ones, I'm sending out to JSA. And I'm still giving them away, but whoever wins it could probably put it right on eBay and get $2 for each one. I got like 7 of them. And I tell you, I'm really surprised that Vince even was willing to sign them. I got those Mandy Rose ones. Mandy Rose is awesome. I sent to the Performance Center about 2-3 months ago a couple of photos I had of Mandy Rose. I had given them away, but they were unsigned. And the person that won it said, you know what? You know, I give the photos to someone else. So what I did was I took the photos, I put it in an envelope, and I sent it to the Performance Center. And I said, Mandy, I said, you know, I have this show. I said, I like to give away photos from time to time. I said, I would love to give these away, autographed by you. I promise that I will not sell them on eBay. I said, if you could sign these and send them back, I sent a self. Oh, here, okay, little piece of advice, serious. If any of you out there that want to send a request to like AEW or WWE, even Impact for an autograph, Performance Center. Matthew, my brother. With the run-in.
Super chat.
Will I be watching Ring of Honor Supercard? He is super excited for the Briscoes and FTR. Absolutely. Absolutely, I am going to watch that. Look, am I a huge fan of the Briscoes? No, not a huge fan of the Briscoes. I like their work, you know, maybe because I'm old and have seen so many different styles of tag teams in my lifetime that the Briscoes, you know, fall into like almost normalcy for my fandomhood. But there's no question that they can go. And one thing that I will always appreciate about the Briscoes, they have that mindset and that mentality that if they work a show and there's only 10 fans in attendance, they will work their asses off as if there's 10,000 fans in attendance. Those guys, I can't tell you how many times over the years that I would have people, because I'm in New York, so, you know, they're more featured in the Northeast in recent years. I can't tell you how many times people that enjoy my shows will get in touch with me or DM me, email, and say, DT, you know, I went to blah, 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 blah show, and the Briscoes won. It was only about 50 people there, but they tore it up. Or, you know, not always is it a small crowd. And it's kind of embarrassing to have teams like that and draw small. But I think this card will draw big. Not just because it's WrestleMania weekend, but because now you have AEW backing Ring of Honor. You know, it gives a lot of hope and excitement for a lot of fans out there. And listen, there's a lot of people out there who claim that they're lifelong Ring of Honor fans that never bothered to watch the product. If that was the case, there wouldn't have been just two rows of seats of fans in attendance. If that was the case, the ratings wouldn't have been almost a negative territory on TV. If that was the case, the pay-per-view buy rates would have been more than what some of you had at your communion parties. You know, everybody says it so they could feel like they're in a clique online. Oh, you like Ring of Honor? Yeah, me too. Oh, you remember when Samoa Joe did this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, they weren't even born yet. You know, but they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember. I tuned in. Yeah, well, you were getting breastfed. You know, but you know what? If they're fans now, that's all that matters. So, yeah, I will be watching it. Absolutely. Thank you for that question, too. Thank you for the support, my friend. Now, a little piece of advice for everyone out there. If you ever want an autographed photo from WWE, Impact, AEW, my advice, okay, my sincere advice, it's always better if you have a photo that's unsigned. If you don't, I guarantee, I don't know about AEW, but I guarantee you with WWE, they have thousands of stock photos sitting in their warehouse, their storage. So if you write a small letter, let's say you want an autograph from Bron Breakker, all right? I can almost guarantee you that if you wrote a small little note to Bron Breakker and say, I'm a big fan of yours, love your work, you know, I would, you know, would make my day if you could, you know, send me an autograph photo back or something. There is a good chance you will get one if you want to increase your chances of getting an autographed photo back. Obviously, if you have an unsigned photo, that is almost a guarantee. As long as it gets to the person, 9 times out of 10, they'll sign it and they send it back. You also should send a self-stamped envelope because you see this? See these envelopes? I have tons of these in my office. Cardboard. In fact, some of you that have won photos off of me over the last couple of years, you always get them in these. What I like to do is I have a larger size one of this also. With the Mandy Rose photos, I took the 3 Mandy Rose photos, I put it in here, and I put it in a bigger envelope, and I stamped it. And I put a little note addressed to the Performance Center and asked if she would sign them. I supplied the postage, I supplied the return envelope, and I even supplied the photos. She signed them and put them in the envelope and sent them back. Back in the day, when I had my car accident and my ex sent letters to all the promotions, you know, she sent envelopes and stuff. I mean, she didn't have unsigned photos. She wasn't even a wrestling fan. But then shit started coming to my house. And I'm like, how do all these people know that I fucked up so bad in a car accident? I'm getting these support letters. I'm getting letters from RVD. I'm getting this. I'm getting phone calls. You know the story. But what she did was she wrote a letter to each promotion and explained what happened to me. And I was a big supporter of, you know, I'm a lifelong pro wrestling fan. And if you come off as genuine, 9 times out of 10, you will get an autograph. What you don't want to do ever is send it to somebody's house. If they have a P.O. box and they advertise a P.O. box, send it to the P.O. box. Never send it to somebody's house. even if they have accepted mail from their house before, look, I mean, you've seen it. I've gotten a lot of Christmas cards over the years from a lot of people in wrestling, some no longer with us, some still. And even with that, you know, when I sent things out to them, you know, I always said, is it okay for me to send something, you know, to this address? And, you know, every time they said, yeah, no problem, no problem. People now, you know, could I send something? Is it okay if I send it to this address? Don't assume just because you have an address that it's okay to mail something to it. But never send it to somebody's home. I don't care. Even if you're friends with them online, even, you know, unless you ask first. But I guarantee you, if you want to improve your chances of getting something autographed, you know, self-stamped envelope is almost a must. You would think, okay, some promotions, they can afford it. They could ship it in their own envelopes. But you do that, you almost guarantee getting a response. And I tell you, over the years, when I have sent stuff out, almost every time I will get a response back. So, all right, let's answer some more questions. Let's answer some more questions. I got to go back a little bit. So, hey, at least it's not would I take advantage of Bear Country, even though I would get away with it. Crazy Cruiserweight, will Bear Country appear on AEW Dynamite? They wrestle on Dark, Elevation, and Rampage. Yeah, I do see them ultimately getting a match on Dynamite. Hell, they may end up losing to Bryan Danielson and Moxley soon. They may lose to some form of the Jericho Appreciation Society. I'm not saying that Bear Country... Bear Country are not bad country. They're not bad. It's just, I don't think they really have a connection with the fans. I mean, they'll always have some connection because some real diehard AEW fans, and this is a compliment, support everybody that is on that roster, and that's a cool thing. That was one thing that always reminded me of ECW, that if... You know, you worked hard. You know, the fans would get behind you, even if you were very, very low on the food chain. You know, one of my favorite feuds back in the mid-90s with ECW was, you know, Shaw Smith, JT Smith versus the Shaw, you know, Hack Myers. And, you know, for probably sad, but three quarters of you out there like, who? But we still got into it. I mean... JT Smith was a little bit more beloved probably because Mike Awesome almost broke his back on an early ECW episode, I think in like 93. Might have the year wrong, but if you never saw it, go do a Google search or YouTube. Just type in Mike Awesome, JT Smith. How that guy didn't break his back, that was scary shit. But yeah, no, I could see Bear Country making an appearance. Will they have any... chance of winning? No. No. Not even close. Not even close. And Cruiserweight says, that Super Chat is a tribute. Will Booker T appear on Raw? I think Booker T will do something at Mania. I think when Kevin Owens name dropped JBL, Shawn Michaels, or Booker T, I think... we may even see something where Austin beats the crap out of KO, and then we may see a couple of other legends get involved. I know a lot of people want to keep the focus only on Steve Austin. And by the way, tomorrow night, Mish and I are going to talk a little bit more about the rumor that Steve Austin and Kevin Owens may close out night one of WrestleMania. Yesterday, for the Don Tony Show, someone had asked, you know, should Steve Austin and Kevin Owens close out WrestleMania? My answer is simple. No. No. I mean, I know the pop will be insane because they're in Dallas, Texas, Steve Austin country. what Kevin Owens has been doing, but, you know, you want to go off the air at WrestleMania with one of your current stars at the top of the rope. So tomorrow we'll talk about it a little bit more. But I think Booker T will have some type of an appearance at WrestleMania, not just the access shows or the panel. I mean, yes, his wife is going in the WWE Hall of Fame, but I think there may be more to this. So again, if you don't mind, if you're going to post a question, write the capital Q or the capital word question before your question so I could spot it quickly. As far as selling Scott Hall like shirts and stuff, if you could get money for it, don't feel guilty. Listen, everybody, don't feel guilty. If you have something of Scott Hall's, you want to sell it, if you want to sell it and somebody wants to buy it, cool. I mean, you know, period. I know a lot of people will pull out their storage. Oh, Scott Hall died. Oh, what do I have that I could sell, maybe get double the money for? Sell it. You know, I mean, you know, there's a YouTube channel right now. Somebody brought it to my attention, wanted my thoughts on it. And honestly, I really don't like commenting about other people's channels, period. I don't. I mean, I've mellowed out over the years, but what this channel is doing is putting up everything they could find of Scott Hall where they don't believe that they'll get hit with copyright. And they're putting online every little clip, and they're getting hundreds of thousands of views in the last week. And the channel looks a little fucked up because there's ads, like every 2-3 minutes, there's ads popping up, and the person is making money off of this. But if it's legal, it might not be sort of ethical. But selling a shirt on eBay, you know, if you're selling it for a reasonable price, if somebody wants to bid more for it, I mean, there's been times over the years where I wanted to buy something and I overpaid because I really wanted it. So, no, if you want to sell it now, and even if you get a little extra for it, if somebody wants to pay you, you should not feel guilty. No. I mean, if you're going to sell fake autographs of Scott Hall, then I would say, nah, that's messed up. But if you have something legit, you think you could make some coin off of it, do it. Nothing wrong with it. Cruiserweight says the super chat was to Will. Oh, wait. I'm a little confused. Cruiserweight, his super chat was to Will. Will Booker T appear on Raw? Oh, I get it. Okay. When he was talking about Bear Country showing up on Dynamite, he was using the analogy from 20 years ago when we used to see clickbait websites 20 years ago. They would do it a little differently. They would say, will Booker T be on Raw this Monday night? And at the time, Booker T was a SmackDown wrestler. So it would say, will Booker T, details on Booker T appearing on Raw Monday, will he appear? And then you click on it, and then it would say, no, he's a SmackDown wrestler. But you got suckered into ad revenue. Difference is AEW, it's not split promotions. So being on Rampage and being on Dynamite is almost like being on Sunday Night Heat or Raw or Sunday Night Heat on SmackDown. But yeah, I get what you're saying with that. There's been so much clickbait, everyone. Oh my God, the Cody stuff. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more about Cody because Cody is set for the 4-4 episode of Raw, which is the night after Mania. Now the question is, will he appear on Sunday, the day before? That is still the question. So we will talk about that tomorrow. But you see how people are trying to backtrack and twist things around, you know, to make it fit their narrative. I mean, what has happened the last month and a half with what people are doing? I mean, and you know what's the worst part about it? I'll bring this one up. I have nothing against Steve Carrier. I think his name is of Ringside News. But talk about desperation to get attention on yourself. The guy actually wrote an article, and the title was, Did AEW Botch CM Punk? Now, I could see if this was written before the MJF feud, but CM Punk is past his prime. CM Punk was out of wrestling for 7-plus years. CM Punk is more on the tail end of his career, period. And after what we have had the last couple of months, to write an article like that, that is designed to get people to click on it and be like, what the fuck is this idiot talking about? I mean, that's how bad a lot of this has become online. That people are intentionally writing stupid shit because stupid attracts also. You know, it's just, it's amazing to see what's going on. But I try to stay above it. Gruss. Since Charmel is going in the Hall of Fame, should Virgil be inducted? Bite your tongue. Charmel, look, I'm not going to criticize her going in, but I will say this with the utmost honesty. If you told me before last week to list 30 women that you feel should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, Charmel would not have been one of those 30. She's going in because they're in Texas. She's going in because she's the wife of Booker T. She was excellent as Queen Charmel. But as far as women who left an impact on this industry that makes you Hall of Fame caliber, difficult, 74 Addison. Welcome to the family. That's the Bray Wyatt. That's the Funhouse Kids. I got to put the soundbite in there. Aww. They're all over YouTube. Generic soundbites. The whole Wyatt thing, there's a soundboard on YouTube that had nothing to do with the Firefly Funhouse. You can get all the sound. There's some funny ones, too. I don't think I have Lily in there anymore. I might. I do. I still have Lily. But, but Charmel, did she really leave a lasting impact on the industry? I don't know about that. I think, and I know this sounds cruel, but you could say this for a lot of people in the Hall of Fame. I think that there's people that are in the Hall of Fame that I think at home may look in their bathroom mirror and say, am I really a Hall of Famer? You know, other than being older, you know, my Hall of Fame, I think there are some people that legitimately feel like me, you know, but I can't criticize her because if that was me being asked to be put in, I damn well would accept it. Shit. Someone had teased me a couple of months ago. DT, would you go into the Northeast Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame for all of the 25 years of doing the hotline and the podcast and the indie wrestling stuff and all the charitable stuff and this and that. And I was like, yeah, until I found out there is no such thing as Northeast Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame. Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, I should say. Yeah, Tori Wilson, I don't know if I would have put her in that quickly either. I mean, maybe ultimately I would put them in, but there's others that should be in there first. And, you know, but it is what it is. You know, she's going in and that's it. Now we got to see who else is going in. I mean, look, they have to announce one or two more people. And I think it would happen this week. You know, would they put in Umaga? We were talking briefly about that yesterday. I'd love to see Umaga go in. But does WWE want to put in more than one deceased person in the main Hall of Fame? Don't know. Is Sid going in the Hall of Fame? We don't know. I can't drink it like a normal human being because there's like nipple sticking out. Serious. If I put this under my shirt right now, it looked like I have like nice nipples. That's how much it's protruding. I do have another one, a normal one. We may have to pop that open. There's been all this talk about Sid going in, but, you know, until WWE announces it, I don't know. Is Sid a Hall of Famer? Honestly, in my opinion, Sid Vicious is a Hall of Famer. He may not have been the greatest wrestler or good, very good wrestler. And yes, he has said some really ridiculous things over the years and come off as kind of stupid at times. But Sid was awesome, man. Skyscrapers, his shit in ECW. You know, a lot of people don't realize, like, what you see with Wardlow in AEW is pretty much Sid Vicious in ECW. If you've never seen Sid Vicious in ECW, don't just watch one pay-per-view match. Don't watch just him and Spike Dudley. Watch a little montage, 30 minutes of Sid Vicious in ECW, and you'll be like, it's fucking Wardlow. I mean, you look at it, it's any big man, that is pretty much just squashing someone else. I was always a fan of Sid. I always wanted to play softball against Sid. Sid Vicious loved to play softball. Loved his softball. There was always rumors that he canceled indie dates to go play softball. I kid you not. Sid Vicious is a Hall of Famer. I'd have no problem with Sid Vicious going in. Guardian of Chaos. Am I a spiritual man? I am. One thing that I always ask myself is, I don't want to get too deep religious here, but when I see cancer and I see a lot of evil in the world, I don't understand how any God with a conscience could sit aside and let people suffer the way they do sometimes. Sometimes it gets very difficult to believe that there really is a God. I get it. You know, you hit rock bottom, you have to pick yourself up. You can't have, I'm as if God talked to me, but you pick yourself up. You need to learn to get up off yourself. Well, you know, that's fine and dandy, but not every person can do that. You think about what happened to Ric Flair. You think about what happened to Brian Christopher. And I'm just using the wrestling reference there. Some people have fallen so deep down, and there ain't no prayer that's going to save them. And I don't know, sometimes it gets a little frustrating to see, you know, I could understand devastation with storms and tornadoes, and, you know, maybe that is beyond any God's control, but some things you see happen, and I just say, how can any God with a conscience just stand there if he truly can do something about it and doesn't? I don't know. It's a very difficult question, but I do believe in praying. I do pray for people. When I do say online to some people, saying a prayer for you, saying a prayer for your family, I'm not just typing it so they feel good. I really do. I say, God, you know, if there's any way you could do a miracle, you know, I don't normally ever see you doing shit, but if there's a miracle, you know, could you at least throw one maybe this person's way? You know, it doesn't have to be so perfect or, you know, clear cut, like it's a miracle, but maybe you can do something, and 9 times out of 10 seems like nothing. But you hold on to that hope. You give up hope, then that's it. So, Matthew Schaffel. I think I pronounced it right, did I? Matthew Schaffel. I thought it was Scheffel, but is it? Just say, don't super chat it. Is it 1 for Scheffel or 2 for Schaffel? Like Dave Schaffel. So this way I answer it the right way. on Kenny Omega still being out with injuries and a sports hernia, what will ECW do for Blood and Guts in May? They won't be able to do the Elite versus the Bullet Club. They could still do something. They can still bring somebody in. They teased a little bit of Jay White. You know, they could bring some member in. They could have someone show up. You know, the funny thing is with Roderick Strong, he's going to NXT UK for a little bit. And a lot of people think that WWE is holding on to him a little bit longer so AEW cannot complete, you know, the Undisputed Era as it was before. My honest opinion, if WWE was trying to prevent the Undisputed Era from forming in AEW, Roderick Strong probably would have been the first person I would have let go. Just being honest. But, no, they could still do it. Even if Kenny Omega is not ready to return, they could put someone else in there. Absolutely. The big question is who? And listen, it may not even be the Elite versus, and I wouldn't even say the Bullet Club, because, you know, Cole and Red Dragon are not calling themselves Bullet Club. It could end up being the Jericho Appreciation Society and some group led by Brian Danielson. So don't immediately think that because it's Blood and Guts, it has to be members of the Bullet Club or the Elite. They can go different ways with this. By the way, I have not yet read too much into who from the DDT promotion in Japan that's going to be coming to the United States to work with AEW. I know people having a field day for some of the comedic stuff that they have done, and that promotion in a lot of people's eyes is a garbage promotion. Anybody that wrestles and works hard at their profession, I wouldn't call them garbage, but I want to look a little bit deeper to see who they are talking about before I comment on it. I don't want to knock it, and I don't want to praise it until I get a little more information. So, why didn't I go to big event 2 weeks ago? Nobody that I knew personally was going. Also, you know, I got stuff going on over here personally a little bit. And the one that they did before this was very, very disorganized. I was thinking about going just to see Killer Cross, because I have yet to be able to shake his hand in person, hang out with him a little bit, maybe do a little impromptu interview, but he couldn't make it either. I think he was out of state at the time. But it just, and you know what it was too, the Omicron stuff. I mean, look, it hasn't stopped me from doing anything. But we're almost out of this. And, you know, I think for a convention, you know, I think I was just going to wait a little bit longer. So the one showing up towards the end of the year, that one I'll be going to. That one I will definitely be going to. I've met Reggie Jackson before. I mean, I have those newspapers that I would love him to sign, but there's a little part of me that says don't sign it, because if the ink bleeds or anything, the newspapers are ruined. I was thinking of giving him the papers because I know he doesn't have the Midnight Edition. For those that don't know, I don't have them handy here. They're in a box. But, you know, I talked about it yesterday when we were wishing best wishes to Simon Diamond, who had a stroke. His favorite baseball player of all time is Reggie Jackson, as mine. And I have from October 1977, the night that Reggie hit the 3 home runs against the Dodgers, I have the newspaper from the next day. I also have the Midnight Edition. The Midnight Edition is almost like this. See, this is not the Midnight Edition. This is the Brooklyn Sports Final. It was shipped from Brooklyn. This newspaper has about 38 pages in it. The Midnight Edition usually has about 15. And it's very, very loosely written. So I have both versions of that paper. And the second paper is worth about $1,000 now. And I was going to give it to him. But I didn't. I don't want to part with him yet. But Darren is asking me how many more times am I going to wear this shirt. For the sit down, I wear something that's a little bit of mafioso. So, and I'm from New York. And Mr. Gotti lived a couple of blocks from here. His wife and a few family members went to my wedding in 1999. So I know it's not sort of the person you pay tribute to. But I see a lot of people, you know, that'll wear shirts in the hip-hop community and others that have faces on it that are not the most nicest people in the world. So it's just play off on the sit-down. Hey, it's the sit-down. How you doing? Shut the fuck up. Know your role and shut your goddamn mouth. Why do they always talk like this? See, I don't want to make a joke about somebody. Oh, this has been asked so many times. Twix is asking, did Macho Man sleep with Stephanie? I'm going to do a little cop-out on this one. Go on YouTube, type in Don Tony Stephanie. There is a podcast called Hueezy. And I was on his podcast about a year and a half ago. And he asked me if I thought that the Macho Man slept with Stephanie. I gave an answer that was about 7 or 8 minutes long. And I explained in detail my honest opinion about it. And my honest opinion is that, no, I don't believe he did. There could have been a little bit of an infatuation by a teenage Stephanie of these larger-than-life guys. Could have been a crush, but I do not think anything sexual ever happened between the two. That is the very short, condensed version. But look, I wasn't there. I don't know any of them. I have no idea. I'm just giving an opinion. So, I know it's a boring opinion. We could go the very sexy, hellacious side of it, and I'll probably get 500,000 people to click on it, but I don't think they did. I really don't. This is a good one. This is a personal one, but it's a good one. Bash 8. Do I have a grudge on my ex-wife? Well, first of all, I am thankful that I broke it off because I wouldn't be engaged to this very special, beautiful person inside. But do I hate my ex? Absolutely. Absolutely. She is blocked everywhere. Her family is blocked. Her friends are blocked. When she tried to get in touch with me several times years past, I would ignore. I don't want nothing to do with her. I don't want nothing to do with her family. They could all rot. You know, I don't want to get into it here. It's too much to explain, but she fucked me up. I mean, emotionally and a lot of other ways, you know, but honestly, breaking up with her was the best decision I ever made in my life. Even if I wasn't with this person inside, she was a whack job. She turned out to be a whack job. And, you know, I broke it off. I paid a church and got it annulled, paid thousands of dollars to have the marriage erased. Church will do some interesting things when you give them enough money to do it. So not only is it divorced, it's annulled as if I've never been married. She was a whack job. And then she wanted to get back together like 2 years after. I'll tell one very quick funny story. A lot of you have seen pictures of my dog that I unfortunately had to put down several years ago. We got married in 99. The dog was born in 99. So it was just a puppy when we hooked up, got married. So anyway, 6 months later, I was talking to a divorce lawyer. There's a lot of things that happened. She, you know, she lost the noodles. Some crazy shit happened. She ended up going to Florida, and I had an ultimatum. Drop everything and move to Florida with her or end it. I ended it. So anyway, she didn't want anything. She didn't want nothing except my dog. And I said to my lawyer, I said, she ain't getting a fucking dog. I'll give her everything but the dog. I said, tell him the dog died. Tell her the dog died. Tell him it was a freak accident. The dog drowned in a pool that I didn't have. Tell him whatever. Tell him it rained out in the middle of the street. Dog died. So they told her the dog died. So we got everything finalized. Marriage was over. She got nothing. About a year and a half, 2 years later, she gets my new number and she calls me up. And she apologized to me and everything like that. She wanted us to see if we could get together and maybe try, you know, to make it work. By then, I was already past that point. So while I was talking on the phone, in the background, you hear, bah, 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 bah. And she's like, is that Peanut? I was like, no, 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 it's another dog I got. She's like, bullshit. She's like, I know that dog's, that's Peanut. My dog started barking in the background. I'm like, shut the fuck up. So I said, I got a confession to make. I said, he never died. I said, there's just no way you would have gotten my dog. So I lied to her. She wanted, the only thing she wanted was the dog. She didn't want the Pathfinder. She didn't want half of my credit card debt. She didn't want any of my jewelry, not even half the condo that I owned. She just wanted the dog. And I said the dog died. And she believed it like a moron. And she was a whack job. Believe me. I heard she is now married with a couple of kids. Good. Good. I don't wish her any ill will, but biggest mistake I ever did was hooking up with her. Cerebral is asking, if I would have been able to book Daphne in a WrestleMania match, what would have been? Well, Daphne really was not, in my opinion, she should have never really been a wrestler. Look, I have the privilege that I was friends with Daphne for over 20 years and pretty close friends with her. I mean, you know, I've talked about it before, and look, I talked about it years before what ended up happening with her. It's so terrible, tragic. But, you know, her going through a divorce with her ex-husband, you know, some of the stuff that we talked about, you know, very, very personal stuff. She knew about my ex. Because remember, you know, I went through that stuff in 99. 2 years later was 01, you know, and her trying to get back in my life. That was the same time I became friendly with her. So talking about bad relationships, we kind of related with each other. But I say this with the utmost honesty. Daphne Unger should have always been a valet or hitting a move once in a while. I don't think she should have ever been a wrestler in the ring. And the reason why I say that is because when we were doing the XPW stuff, you know, I was doing stuff behind the scenes. She was actually a, you know, performer. But even at that time when she was valeting Vic Grimes, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I don't even know if XPW's ever released this on video. But, you know, we were hanging out with Vic Grimes and Shane Douglas and a few others the night before, and they're talking about the match they're going to do. And Vic Grimes has got this idea, you know, you've seen people staple money to people's heads. I stapled $20 to Louis' head. Some people have seen, I stapled money to Louis' ass. Some people have seen other people staple money, chins. Vic Grimes tells Shane Douglas, staple it to my tongue. Huh? What? Staple it to my tongue. Shane Douglas stapled the money to his tongue. Daphne, the night before, hey, you want to staple it to me also? Yeah, not. I don't think she wanted the tongue, but she was always willing to do crazy stuff because she loved it. She had fun. The problem is, if you know a little bit about her history, you know, and she's small she is, and not being a wrestler, you know, it's I don't think she should have ever entered that territory. Maybe taking a bump once in a while. Look at Lizzie Borden. Lizzie Borden. I know a lot of people don't like Rob Black because of what he did with XPW in the past and the porn stuff and everything. But I was at the commentator's table when Lizzie Borden was put through that table by Vic Grimes. And she hit her head on the edge of the table, and they rushed her to the hospital. And early on, I don't know who it was, but somebody started pinning the blame on me and the announcer, Kingdom James, that we somehow hit the table when we got out of Dodge, and because we hit the table, it wasn't centered properly, and Lizzie Borden hit the corner of her head. Now, you think about, I'm just being honest, now you think about Rob Black, and you think about the Messiah, you know, hey, you know, where's my digits? And the rumors, you remember that? Now I'm thinking, this motherfucker thinks that I moved the table? I started shitting bricks. I started getting very nervous, and I'm like, I know we didn't hit the table. Thank God there was video footage. They went back, they looked at the footage, nobody touched the table. That was the end of it. But the thing was, Lizzie Borden was not a trained wrestler. And that was very scary to see her hit her head the way she did with that table. It was scary. And I think Daphne should have never started wrestling. I think being a valet, that is not a step down. But I would, so you ask me, well, how would I have booked her in a WrestleMania match? I would have had her as a valet outside the ring. Get a little physical, get a little cat fight, fine, but not taking the bumps that she did. Mighty Mighty, what would I change in a storyline, old or current? Wow. I mean, that's a loaded question. I know there's some very easy ones. I would not have done Katie Vick. I would not have done this. I would not have done that. I probably would have avoided, what was that storyline with AJ Styles and Dixie Carter in TNA? What was that woman's name? That, you know, that they brought in at that time and they did the scandal. What was her name? I would have avoided that storyline at all costs. I would have avoided when they tried to make Kate, that's not Katie Vick, that's WWE. The TNA one. TNA, Claire Lynch. See, Katie Vick and Claire Lynch, I can understand why people would mix the two up. Trust me, Katie Vick was horrible. But Claire Lynch, to me, for AJ Styles, no need for it. Making him wear the robes. Remember when he was disheveled? He almost looked like a different version of Al Snow. I just would have avoided all of that. Just let AJ Styles be the phenomenal one. That's one that, look, there's 1,000 storylines. Look, we could have said something about Retribution. Some people may say right now, Butch, I wouldn't have done that to Pete Dunne. You know what? I'm kind of liking what they're doing. Why? Because someone thinks of a Little Rascals character, which it's not. Sorry, the Little Rascals were trying to pretend like they were selling punch for 5 cents. I don't think Butch from the Little Rascals was walking around the street and like, oh, Clemenza, his name was, Petey, come here, Petey. Come here, I got a biscuit for you. Come here. Get the fuck out of here. The Little Rascals didn't do that. He's doing nothing that resembles Butch. Why? Because he wore a pancake hat also? Because it's a similar name? Awful. Muhammad Soria. What's up? Are people overestimating the value of Ring of Honor's library? No, I don't think so. 20 years of content. That is awesome. Look, you know, AEW only has a couple of years. And some people have said, you know, look, if they made all their previous events available for like $3 a month, I'd pay it. I actually would. I would pay $3 a month. If I just felt like, yeah, you know what, let me see that debacle with Nick Gage again. Boop, put it on the thing. I'm sure we could still see it on Google search, but, you know, for a couple of years worth of footage, pay $3 a month, whenever you want to watch something, throw it on. Ring of Honor, 20 years worth of footage. Now you have thousands and thousands of hours of content. And understand that a lot of AEW fans are in their 20s. They were not around at the very beginning of Ring of Honor. They were not. They were just children when Ring of Honor was, you know, in the mid-2000s, even late 2000s. You know, they were still preteens. I don't think they were going to Ring of Honor. I don't remember, you know, Ring of Honor having preteens in droves at those shows. So a lot of young fans wanting to see the history of some of the stars of today and see what CM Punk was like 20 years ago. Sure. Sure. That Ring of Honor library is definitely valuable because wrestling, I think, will always be around. So that footage, barring a disaster, would never get erased, would never be lost. You're always going to develop new wrestling fans. 10 years from now, a lot of us may not be watching wrestling anymore, but 10 years from now, you will have new wrestling fans. Always turns over. Always turns over. You see music, you see movies, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, go figure. Fucking Friday the 13th, Halloween, and some of those crazy ass movies are 40 years old. 40. They'll sell the 25th anniversary, the 40th anniversary, the 50th anniversary, the remastered, the double remastered. You know, Blu-ray, guest commentary, there's always going to have value to it. Sam, I love the idea of Killer Cross going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Just straight up brawling. He's obviously charismatic as well. Very, very believable in what he does. He takes his shit seriously. And that style fits him like a glove. He has the style. And you add the character to it. And he's intimidating, man. He's intimidating. New Japan is going to love it. But I want to see him compete in Japan. I know we get American shows as well. But that Japanese audience, they will handle Killer Cross a little bit different than everyone else. I really believe that. I didn't realize we have Matthew's comment on the screen still. But Eddie Kay, he has every AEW show in its original showings. That's awesome. That's cool. I don't have it here, but I was just... I'll show you next time. I have every ECW episode in its existence. It's like 500 DVDs. And too bad iOffer is not around anymore. It's still around in name only. But iOffer, oh my God, if iOffer was the iOffer from 10 years ago, every one of you out there could probably buy every episode of AEW on iOffer for probably $19. You'll get like whatever it is, 50 DVDs or whatever. For like $19, you'd have every episode of AEW TV in its history. So, man, Iowa, you all missed on something. Seriously, any of you newer fans out there, my hotline at the time, I used to try to get everybody to go on Iowa. You buy bootleg stuff. And you had tons of people. Now, the funny thing is, there's a few sellers that still email me on occasion because I was on the email list and they'll say, oh, we have the latest TV and this and that. They have bootlegs of everything. Anything you can imagine. There used to be a TV show, The Gangster Chronicles. That's what it was. 1982, I think it might have been. Or 81. It was a miniseries called The Gangster Chronicles. My father, this is a true story, my father watched that movie, the miniseries, in 81, I think that was the year it came out. And I remember as a kid, my father watching it every weekend, over and over and over and over. Something happened, and whatever he taped, it got destroyed. And for years and years and years, probably for at least 10 years, I tried to find some bootleg version of it. There was somebody that was selling it in Japan, but there was no way to order it. Then somebody had like a very edited, condensed version of it on eBay. And then finally, about 10 years ago, somebody on iOffer had the original series. And I told that guy, I'm like, look, please send me the series. I not only got the series, in fact, they're in Florida right now, but next week or the week after, probably next week, because I'm going to see them for my birthday. When I go over his house, I will take a picture of it. This guy sent me every episode of the Gangster Chronicles. I went and I made my own art, cover art for the DVD set, and I gave it to him as a Christmas present, and he started crying. Like, because he knew that I tried for a very long time to find that, and I finally found it. And it was because of iOffer. iOffer was awesome. You could buy any bootleg of anything. WWE pay-per-views, WWE by the years, Ring of Honor, ECW, anything. Japan compilations. Oh, my God. Music. Crazy shit, man. That's where I got the ECW stuff. I have VHS tapes. I have the original ECW shows on VHS that were taped in the 90s. Quality is perfect. But I don't have the time to convert it to digital. So somebody on iOffer was selling every show that ever existed, including the TNN stuff. And I'm like, yeah, fine. I paid it, 500 DVDs. Okay. Let's see. We're going to start bringing this home soon. About 10 minutes, everybody, because we're at an hour and 17. We'll go to an hour and a half because tomorrow we'll be back. Here's a little sneak peek of tomorrow. That's the thumbnail I came up with. The most stupendous Raw after WrestleMania. Cody is all but a lock for the 4-4 edition of Raw. Now we got to figure out if he's going to be on night two of WrestleMania. Will he do something with Rollins? Will he attack Rollins? Will he even be a match with Rollins? Might not even be that. Maybe something happens and he explains his actions on Monday Night Raw. So that's that. And I decided, for my channel members, please do not be upset. Sometimes Thursdays have to be special nights. This Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m., I am going to give you the most stupendous predictions for WrestleMania this Thursday, 9 p.m. Now, I don't know if anybody is going to be joining me. I don't know if Mish will. I know Mish likes to save some of his stuff for his own show, which totally makes sense, but his show is earlier in that night. So I will pass the invite to him. I was thinking maybe I will bring somebody on that I have never had on before to do predictions with me. So we'll see. At minimum, you'll have me on Thursday. But that'll be at 9 o'clock. I could have done it Friday, but I think that's too close to Mania. So I think if we do it Thursday, I think that is a decent time to do it. Who had the better career, John Cena or Triple H? Huh. Wow. That's two totally different wrestlers, man. That's two. I'll say this. This has nothing to do with NXT. If you notice when you hear about Mount Rushmore for wrestlers, I know fans have their choices. I have mine. But if you ever pay attention to wrestlers in the industry, when they give their Mount Rushmore, a lot of them include John Cena in there. A lot of them do not include Triple H. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but people will put Hogan, they'll put Austin, they'll put Flair, they'll put Rock, and a lot of them will put Brett. Some of them will put John Cena. Very rare does anybody put Triple H. So I liked Triple H's career more, although in the early 2000s, when it was the Triple H show, it was really, really painful to watch at times. Man, I still remember, and I've brought this up before, I'll never forget it. We had an XPW event in Philadelphia, and like 2-3 days later, myself and this guy Slash, who worked behind the scenes in XPW also, we had to drive to Philadelphia on, I think it was a Monday night or a Tuesday night. I think it was Monday night. And we had to get the tape into the studio by like 10 p.m. so it could air at like 1 a.m. for the Philly fans out there. It was our responsibility to always drive the tape to Philly. And while we were going there, now remember, this is before smartphones and everything. We're on the Jersey Turnpike, and I don't remember who called. Somebody called. They were giving us spoilers for WWE while we were driving. And all I remember is on speakerphone, whoever it was a wrestler, but I can't remember who it was. They're like, fucking Bischoff just handed Triple H the World Heavyweight Champion, the fucking WCW title. He just handed it to Triple H. Remember when Triple H was handed the championship? We were on the Jersey Turnpike. And when that was going down, Triple H at that time was not very pleasing for many of us. Not very pleasing. So, Charlie, I just explained who Slash was. He worked behind the scenes. Did Enzo rub people the wrong way? Why haven't we seen him on Impact teaming with Big Cass? Because they wanted to push Big Cass as a singles guy, as a powerhouse. They didn't want to put him as a tag team. Enzo, in the past, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because of his lifestyle. But I think that has changed in recent times. I do believe we will see Big Cass on, Enzo back on TV. He's very charismatic, and he's decent in the ring. May not be spectacular, but he doesn't need to be. And, you know, his lifestyle is not as controversial as it used to be. So maybe it turned off a lot of people in the past, but it does baffle me sometimes when we don't see Enzo on TV. Did I keep up with Florida Championship Wrestling years ago? A little bit. Problem is, you know, the way it was offered, you know, developmental back then, OVW and others, Heartland, it was not offered nationwide TV where we could just tune in week in and week out and week in and week out. And in a way, it was good. It was better. It definitely was better. Because if we were to watch some of these stars up and coming, I think the net would have ripped a lot of them big time. I mean, a lot of them escaped a lot of criticism because it wasn't televised for a nationwide audience. People accepted the developmental, and that's the problem in recent years. Wrestling fans have become spoiled. They think every TV show has to be top quality stuff, otherwise they bash it. And Stars of Tomorrow, you have to start somewhere. Not everybody is going to be good at first. And the amount of criticism that people put on TV, you know, put online that NXT is a disaster, it's garbage, is this, is that. No, it's developmental. But sadly, because it's a popular thing to rip on WWE and hate WWE and put them down, there is a huge audience for that. So there's a lot of people out there that will criticize WWE at all costs because that's their base. And I understand it. I'm not criticizing them. If that's what they have to do, that's fine. But, you know, if you're going to tell me that WWE is not creating a nice little nucleus in NXT, some Stars of Tomorrow, you know, sooner or later, people are going to get wise to that. And then they got to make the decision. Do I still pay attention to people that are intentionally, you know, putting down something that shouldn't, or creating a narrative that's not true? To this day, there are people that are convinced that WWE is trying to erase Triple H's legacy. That is beyond asinine. That is moronic. That is ridiculously stupid. And yet, people believe it. And I think people believe it and want to believe it because so many people believe it. You know, That's why when somebody writes something that's so negative online, there's always 1,000 people standing by to go along with it. You know, it's very easy. Take shots at Vince. Take shots at anybody you don't like right now. Take shots at Joey Ryan. Take shots at Brad Shepard. Take shots at Nia Jax. Take shots at Ridge Holland. Take shots at that forgotten son. That's Jackson Riker. Take shots at whatever you want. Easy, easy audience. There's 1,000 people sitting by that just waiting for somebody to write something to be like, yeah, fuck them. Fuck them all. No, I'm not talking about JD from New York. JD from New York wants wrestling to be better. There's a difference. He doesn't like the NXT 2.0. You never hear out of my mouth ever say that everybody has to like NXT 2.0. Not everybody likes the minor leagues. Not everybody likes developmental. I don't like watching minor league baseball. I don't even like to watch NCAA basketball. I like watching the NBA. You know, you're not required to have to like any form of developmental. But there is an audience out there that will always put something down, even when it's good. And that's because, like I said yesterday, there is a big audience out there that need Cody to be at WrestleMania. They don't give a shit if Cody's at WrestleMania or not. There ain't nobody that is going to tune into WrestleMania just because Cody appears. But there's a lot of people out there that got to have Cody appear so they could just say, told you he was going to appear. I was right. I was right all along. Forget the 15 lies in the middle of all of it, but I ended up being right. So there's a lot of people out there that need him to be there just so they could say, told you. They don't care if he's there or not. And you look at all the people that are now turning on Cody because he went back to WWE. Those are the people that don't understand that WWE pro wrestling is a business. WWE is a publicly traded company. Vince McMahon, the leader of a billion-dollar publicly traded company, goes on Pat McAfee and explains the investors that they have to please, and people actually accuse him of lying. That is a federal offense if he's lying publicly that could influence the value of the stock. Vince McMahon is not going to lie that he has to please the investors. It's just that a lot of people out there refuse to accept that WWE has to please their investors who don't give a shit about storylines, that do see some of these wrestlers as dead weight. And they get so offensive. How dare you call somebody dead weight? Those are the people that have to work at Starbucks and OD on hot chocolate all day long. I don't think WWE wants that wrestling fan to be their audience. And it's not rocket science. The problem is, when you think of things logically, it's not sexy and it's not as interesting. So if you take a side that is honest and the honesty is boring, people are like, oh, boo. Give us a reason to scream. Give us a reason to curse. Give us a reason to yell at the top of our lungs in anger. We like being angry. Don't give me the truth. My favorite video games, I like the classics. I like the classics. I mean, I have my 40-1 inside. I played a little Miss Pac-Man on Twitter a little bit, screenshot a little bit, did the perfect screen too. I like the old school stuff. I like playing board games. I still wish that some of you, you know, played Uno through Steam because I am killing it on Uno. And every night I'll play for 10, 15 minutes just to own a few people. Before I go live on Patreon on Tuesdays, I'll actually I'll share my screen and people watch and hear me play Uno. I trash talk, but I like playing the classics. But I am thinking about getting the newest WWE game. So many of you out there are telling me, you got to get it, got to get it, got to get it, got to get it. But I'm one of those that if I start playing, I got to play 8 hours a day. I don't have that kind of time. Doing shows literally every day now and the watch parties also. I mean, if I start playing that WWE game, I'll probably be making excuses like, oh, there's no show tomorrow. My computer's fried. Or my iPhone broke down, but even though you look at my tweet, it says tweet from iPhone. All right, let's bring this home. It is time for me to get out of here. So I'll leave you all with this question. Charlie is asking, where would WWE be if they didn't have NXT? They'd be just fine. They'd be just fine. Maybe an outside promotion would be doing developmental, and maybe they would have a working agreement, a working relationship with that promotion. But they like being able to train their own, have them under their same wing. So you could have some of those trainers multitask. You know, understand a lot of wrestlers that are on Raw and SmackDown, they go to the Performance Center. Remember that controversy when Keith Lee went back to the Performance Center and Dijakovic was there and a few others? And people were immediately, they saw that and they're like, oh, WWE, how dare they send these people to the Performance Center? And then you find out, no, they're all there because they're trying to get some work in. They can't tour because of COVID. They can't do house shows. So they're just trying to get some work in. Then you hear about Undertaker doing some stuff with the big guys. And then people realize, oh, wait a minute, they do go to the Performance Center because they always want to try to get better at what they do. So WWE likes having everything under their banner. And guess what? They could micromanage. That's probably why you see more people getting released as well. Because if they had an outside promotion taking care of the developmental, they probably would just get reports. Look at when Cornette was doing OVW. Just think back at that time. Hey, you know, they send Tom Pritchard down there. Hey, how are we doing with these guys? Who's ready? What do you think? How are you doing? No, now when you have NXT, management sees every little detail of every little thing that these people do. So they micromanage. And sometimes if you see too much and you see too many of the imperfections, that may outweigh the positives, and that might be a little unfair, and that might be an influence for WWE saying, you know what, we like this person, but right now, you know, we don't have time to put that kind of investment. Let them go. Let them get better somewhere else. We could always bring them back later on. Look at the class that just signed with WWE. From Roxy to Bianca Carelli to a few others. Where is the internet yelling at all of them, saying to them, what are you, stupid? How could you sign with them? You didn't just see 200 people get released? If they release you within 6 months, you deserve it. How could you go with them? How come all these people, you know why? Because they don't have the balls to say it directly to a wrestler. They will yell at Vince. They will yell at Bruce. They will yell at Triple H. They'll yell at John Laurinaitis. Because none of these people are going to go on Twitter and say, shut the fuck up. You don't know fucking shit. No, they'll just say it. They'll say it towards people that won't respond. But where are they yelling at the particular wrestlers that signed? How could you sign with them? What's wrong with you? Because they know that they could very well garner a response. And all the supporters of that wrestler that are going to say, shut the fuck up. Give that person a chance. That's how the sausage is made. So, Bash 8, Roxy was a women's champion for Ring of Honor. She's worked elsewhere. Go do a Google search on her. Very, very talented. Cute. Good ability. You know, really no issues whatsoever. So, all right, everyone. I am going to jet out of here. So I thank you all for an awesome night tonight. I know we didn't take calls, but again, it's not required to take calls here. What did we answer? Like 40 something questions tonight. As long as we're interactive here, if there's a slow night that you prefer to do calls instead, we'll take calls. But you know, if the chat room is flowing and brewing and everybody is into it, then yeah, this is awesome. I love this format that we do on Sundays. It's just sitting back, whatever's on your mind, and, you know, you hit me from all different sides. And, you know, it's fun. I like being able, you know what's cool about it? Let me leave you with this. If anybody that might be newer to the shows on Sunday also, you know why this is so cool? Because at least everything that you're hearing being discussed is from your fellow friends and family and wrestling fans out there that are bringing up these topics. This is not me choosing these particular topics, you know, that might be a little bit outdated, might be something you're not interested in hearing. So this gets a better vibe as far as what everybody wants to talk about. Sometimes they may focus more on the old school. Sometimes they may focus more about AEW. Sometimes it might be WrestleMania. But you get a good pulse of what everybody is in the mood to talk about. That's why we do this. You know, it is different than any other show we do. And I like that every show is different. You know, so Monday night, Mish and I will be here. We'll talk Raw. We'll talk a little WrestleMania. We will have that discussion if Steve Austin and Kevin Owens should close out night one. So we will have a lot to say about that. For those that don't know, when the question was asked yesterday, I found out after that it was because this guy Kermit, that always posts on Reddit, that's gotten stuff right before, he posted that WWE, as of now, has Owens and Austin closing out night one. That's where that came from. But tomorrow we'll have a spirited conversation about that. And we'll get into the latest with Cody and anything else that breaks. But, and yeah, ultimately, if we do a little gaming and stuff, I'll stream a little bit here. I definitely would not put it in audio podcast form. I mean, in the near future, I will have some stuff that'll be a YouTube exclusive, video exclusive. Not every little thing that we do has to be in an audio format too, but if I go that route, I want to go that route and make sure I could stay going that route. I don't want to do it once and then not do it again. So, all right, everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I would have greatly appreciated if you hit that like button on your way out. If you're not a subscriber yet, if you want, subscribe. If you know anyone out there that would enjoy the channel, let them know about it. And I hope to see you all tomorrow night, 11.05 p.m. Eastern, right here. And I will also give you an update as far as the shows that we have scheduled this week. Because Saturday is going to be a busy night. I'm not sure if we're going to do NXT in the afternoon. As of now, I probably will. But we should have the schedule set by tomorrow night. So, everyone, it's been real. Much love. Thank you for the awesome questions and discussion tonight. Had a ball, and I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.